Hello everyone, happy Easter. I thought for Jesus' big day, we could go over the famous lunatic, liar, or lord argument. And I also have a brief clarification at the end about part of last week's Easter episode regarding the women at the tomb, so let's get into that. The Christian apologist C.S. Lewis laid out in his book Mere Christianity an argument that would come to be known as the trilemma. He claims that if Jesus wasn't actually God, he must either be a liar or a lunatic. So here's the famous passage.
A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to.
The three options Lewis gives us, lunatic, liar, or Lord, are obviously not the only possibilities on the table. It's possible that Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, though I think there are other possibilities that are far more likely. Jesus could have been mistaken, for one. He could have been entirely sincere, just sincerely mistaken. And you wouldn't have to be a lunatic to say the things Jesus said back in the first century Middle East. A superstitious, uneducated, bewildered, terrified people living in the desert thousands of years ago would not have to be crazy to make claims that would be crazy to make in present-day Western civilization. Another possibility is that the people who wrote about Jesus didn't get every single detail correct of what he said and did. We're dealing with copies of copies of copies of anonymously written, non-eyewitness accounts written decades or centuries after what Jesus said and did. So it's almost certain that he didn't say and do exactly what the Gospels report. And according to experts in relevant fields like ancient history, religious studies, and the languages of that time and place, the historical Jesus bears little resemblance to the mythologized, personalized Jesus your parents believe in. There probably was a guy named Yeshua who, to quote Bart Ehrman, was an itinerant apocalyptic preacher who was executed by the Roman government. The stories of his life and teachings, which were transmitted orally, morphed and evolved over time until decades later when they were put down in anonymously authored, contradictory accounts that were translated from their original language and ended up in our Bibles today. Not only could Jesus have been mistaken, but so too could have any link in the long chain between the real events themselves and the gospel accounts that are sitting on my shelf. If Jesus was divine, or if the Lord option is the correct one, you'd expect the world to look differently than if he wasn't divine. For example, you wouldn't expect not to have any original manuscript of the only records we have of his actions that supposedly proved his divinity. You might even wonder why he chose to only appear to superstitious people who had no way of objectively recording the events, or why his appearance was a one-time deal in the first place, or why Jesus doesn't say more interesting things. Also, if Jesus was God, you might expect him to be a little more convincing on that point. Kinda weird that God can't convince me that he's God, but we do have to remember the long chain between the words originally leaving Jesus' mouth all the way to you or I picking up a Bible and reading the words attributed to him. The first link would be Jesus himself, who never wrote anything down, so then there were the eyewitnesses and firsthand audience of Jesus, but they didn't write anything down either. They passed the stories on through word of mouth for decades, and then finally people who were not eyewitnesses, who were living far away from where the events took place, decades after they transpired, wrote the stories down they heard. But we don't even have those manuscripts, we have copies of copies of those, and the different gospel accounts we have contradict each other in unreconcilable and non-trivial ways. The reason all this needs to be said is because the trilemma just assumes that we know for sure that Jesus claimed to be God. Given the weight of what we're talking about, we cannot take the unreliability of the Gospels lightly. The long chain between Jesus' actual words and deeds and our biblical accounts should be enough to cast serious doubt on the idea that we are certain of exactly what Jesus said and did. We can't judge if Jesus was who he said he was, if we don't know for sure who he said he was in the first place. So we're not just asking if Jesus was mistaken or lying or crazy or some other possibility, we have to ask the same of every single person in that long chain of communication. I don't bring all this up just to cast doubt on the factual inerrancy of the Gospels. According to historians going off the manuscripts and records we have, there's a big difference between the historical Jesus and the mythological Jesus who some of us used to have a personal relationship with. Like I said, there was a guy named Yeshua who was a preacher of a small Jewish sect. He got in trouble with the Romans and was killed by them. But one thing the historical Jesus never did was claim to be God. And if you've never heard that before, it can be surprising, but based on the earliest documents we have, Jesus and the disciples considered him to be the Messiah, but definitely not God. And just to be clear, if you open your Bible, you will see Jesus claiming to be divine. But the different parts of the New Testament were written at different times by different people, and Jesus only makes divine claims for himself in the newest documents we have. You won't find Jesus claiming to be God in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, which are the earliest Gospels. The Gospel of John, the latest of the Gospels, is the only one where Jesus actually says that he's God.
Well, what I argue in the book is that during his lifetime, Jesus himself didn't call himself God and didn't consider himself God, and that none of his disciples had any inkling at all that he was God. The way it works is that you do find Jesus calling himself God in the Gospel of John, our last gospel. And that's striking because we have earlier gospels and we have the writings of Paul, and in none of them is there any indication that Jesus said such things about him. I think it's completely implausible that Matthew, Mark, and Luke would not mention that Jesus called himself God if that's what he was declaring about himself. That would be a rather important point to make. So this is not an unusual view among scholars. It's simply the view that the Gospel of John is providing a theological understanding of Jesus that is not what was historically accurate.
In his book, How Jesus Became God, and in the Great Course Lectures bearing the same title, Bart Ehrman outlines the development of early Christianity and documents the theological pressures that drove the evolution of Jesus from mortal status to divine human to eventually be equal with God. But Jesus himself never claims to be God in any of the early manuscripts. It's not until the Gospel of John, by far the latest gospel, that Jesus claims a divine status for himself. He says, "I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." These sayings are not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And that is not what you would expect if the historical Jesus really went around saying these things and claiming he was God. Wouldn't that be the most significant thing to say about Jesus? That he called himself God? Did the authors of Matthew, Mark, and Luke just decide not to mention that? That seems pretty unlikely. It's far more likely that they didn't write it because they had never heard Jesus say it. Apologists have pointed out that in the book of Mark, Jesus apparently forgives sins, and who has the authority to do that but God? Well, what Jesus actually says is, "Your sins are forgiven," not, "I forgive your sins." It's also worth pointing out that priests and religious authorities regularly invoked the authority of God to forgive sins, as was the case with animal sacrifice, so Jesus' statement doesn't have to be any weirder than what other religious authorities were doing at that time. I think the trilemma is the product of a profound lack of imagination, if not outright dishonesty, on the part of C.S. Lewis and the apologists who use the argument. It's pretty easy to imagine other answers, but Lewis didn't acknowledge the most likely answers, and he just dismisses the liar and lunatic options as absurd without really addressing them. C.S. Lewis is considered a brilliant writer and apologist in the Christian community, though at least after hearing the trilemma, it's not entirely clear why. I wanted to make one clarification of my Easter episode last week. I got a message from Leah asking me to explain something I said about the women discovering the empty tomb. Exactly what I said in the episode was that believers argue if one were to invent a story, you wouldn't choose women to be the ones to discover Jesus' empty tomb, since women weren't seen as reliable witnesses. And I said one possibility is that the story was made up by women, and Leah said she doesn't quite know what I mean by that and asked if I could elaborate on it. So I think women could have added that detail in the decades and decades the stories were circulating orally before they were written down. Early Christian women could easily have been responsible for pushing that detail of the women playing a central role. Something I didn't mention, though, that contradicts the idea that this was in opposition to the sexism of the time, was that the earliest versions of the story of Mark, which is the earliest gospel, basically is consistent with the sexism of the time. The women run away terrified from the tomb after learning about the resurrection and don't tell anyone what they saw. Running away screaming from the tomb is not exactly a story of female empowerment, especially since they dropped the ball and didn't tell anyone that Jesus was resurrected. Decades or centuries later, the ending of Mark was added, but the earliest versions end with the women telling no one what they saw, which is definitely not flattering to women, and the whole apologetic is that if women were seen as unreliable, why would they have such an important role in the story? Well, I reject the idea that this story is flattering to women. The original ending has them running away terrified and telling none of the disciples what they saw. But as I said last week, we shouldn't get hung up on the sexism apologetic when the different accounts of the women discovering the tomb are not reconcilable. The Gospels disagree on how many women discovered the tomb, which ones they were, and if they told anyone about the empty tomb after they left, which is not a minor detail. The different accounts are not compatible. All right, that's all I have for you today. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll see you next time.